This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube, on Twitch for the kids. We're all about the kids here. I got the drive, chip, and putt challenge at the Masters on the TV right now.
Thanks. These guys look super young.
Thanks, Jason Swigard. This is probably just the Golf Channel or whatever left over from yesterday.
Oh, that's okay. Not the worst thing.
No. I walked in. I was like, who are these little people on the course here that are at Augusta? What's happening here?
It makes me feel bad because these kids would demolish me.
Oh, I'm pissed just watching it too.
It's not even, they wouldn't even be close. They'd be like, oh, this old guy sucks. As they're out there just getting holes in one, they're shooting two on a par three. Like, yo.
Yeah, but then I I'm sure their parents are super supportive, but also I'm sure their parents are like, if you don't win this, swear to God.
All their parents are Shooter McGavin. Guaranteed, like, oh, you have to make up for my mistakes.
Are golf parents and golf kids like the toddlers and tiaras of the sports world?
Golf and tennis, maybe?
Lacrosse. You got to throw that
lacrosse
in there.
Condoleezza
Rice is there for some reason.
These are all sports that involve a ton of money.
Wasn't Condoleezza like the U.S. treasurer or something like that?
She's Secretary of Defense.
Was she?
Well, and she's actually, Condoleezza Rice has also been, because of her experience in politics and in connections with sports for some reason, there was talk of like replacing Roger Goodell with Condoleezza Rice a few years ago as commissioner of the NFL. It's like, really?
I remember that.
Yeah. Dude, she could run a 4-3. You didn't know her back in her heyday of playing football.
She was probably a beast.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, sounds like a Mexican dish, man. I almost guarantee Condoleezza Rice was good at some sport. If we looked it up, she played college.
I think she did.
Let's browse the old internet, shall we? She went to Stanford. She played
darts for Stanford.
I bet maybe there was some crew in her.
She's got the arms for it.
She's got the upper body strength.
Very, very privileged sports we're talking about here. But yes, most of those kids are living out their parents' dreams.
100%. 100%. No kid wants to be out there playing golf all day. Golf is awesome. And go out and play a round of golf or even nine holes, cool. I think most 14, 15-year-olds would be good with that. But unless you absolutely love the sport and love the game, I can almost guarantee that most of these kids would rather be somewhere else. This young lady, Karis Reed, is between 12 and 13. I almost guarantee she'd rather be somewhere else doing other stuff, fun stuff with other 12-year-olds.
So I was going to talk about this later in the show, but trust me, we will get to more golf. It's Masters Week, essentially.
It's WrestleMania Week, too. We should probably get to that. What would Xavier Woods say if he heard you say that?
Yeah, I mean, he'd be a little upset. He wouldn't be happy with me.
P1 of the show, Xavier Woods.
By the way, guys, thank you to Alex on the YouTube chat pointing this out. Condoleezza Rice, a member at Augusta, and that jogs my memory. Go. Is she not the first female member at Augusta, like officially?
That was news like a little while ago.
I mean, this is she a scratch ago. Golfer? Like, why are we giving it to her?
Yes, I believe she's a big golfer.
When you're Secretary of Defense for the
United
States.
Is she a scratch
golfer?
Like just no handicap, just bam, is absolutely able to stripe it. Because I'd feel like the first woman, like, accepted into Augusta should be, like, a professional golfer. Not some chick who's somehow able to weasel her way into the college football playoff committee. Augusta.
Sorry, and that was a decade ago. It was announced in 2012 that she was announced as one of the first of two women to be admitted at Augusta National. And I believe it says her handicap is listed at that time. The February 2023 article said it was 11.6.
All right. I buy that. Good for her.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Go ahead, Condoleezza.
Do your thing, girl.
She'll be eating some $1.50 egg salad sandwiches pretty soon, baby.
Some pimento cheese.
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to get to this later in the show in my little golf segment, but the guy who is leading the Valero Texas Open right now, Akshay Bhatia, he was homeschooled by his parents so that way they could have him focus on golf.
You know,
and now I think that that's something that Joey and I should strive to be. Joey, you're a golfer now.
Well, Joey and I
homeschooling,
have any friends?
We're hitting the course every day.
You want to not have any friends? Kind of be every homeschool kid. I know.
Friends are overrated.
Every homeschool kid I know is a little. You know what I mean?
Like socially awkward.
You know what I mean? Like they're just like, okay, like you're cool, but you can tell you don't hang out with many people.
Rashad,
dude, if Joey could shoot a 65 on a golf course and be socially awkward, I would not care. I would give two Fs.
Guys, I used to think
like
that
my kid throws darts out there. I don't care if he so what? He can't hold a conversation with kids his age.
No, there's no problem there. I used to think that that was a thing, that homeschool kids were weird. But then the homeschool kid that I actually did choir with in high school ended up going to New York, becoming a model, having way more sex than I've ever had. So no, not every homeschool kid.
Not every, but I think that guy is more the exception than the
rule. I don't know, man.
Because a lot of the homeschool students that, you know, and mind you, I'm in an industry to where I work with a lot of students who have been homeschooled at some point and maybe looking for another school opportunity. I mean, nice kids. All, I don't think any of them are mean. However, like,
oh boy,
just saying.
This, like, is Rashad Taylor saying this.
No, I'm saying it can be. It can
be. None of the parents are listening.
It can be. They know their kids are awkward. It's okay, like yeah, it can be a little
damn
bit
fault.
Awkward. You're not the first. You see it all the time. And if you're a parent that's not awkward and you see that your kid is, it's like, ah, my son's a great kid. My son's a little socially awkward though, just doesn't get certain social cues. Number one, because he's an only child, and then COVID came, and you know, there's that.
Well, so I think all of our kids kind of took a step or two back on the you know, not being socially awkward phase when that all happened.
Yeah, wrecked God. This generation.
Oh, dude. That was, well, I don't know about wrecked them.
I mean, as far
it ruined a lot, bro.
Their normal routine got totally upended for, what, a year? Year and a half in some cases?
Oh, yeah. Mine too. I mean, trust me, I was a teacher and a cook and emotional support.
You're teaching homeschool now, Joe?
See?
How was that?
Hey, again, I've already done it, so why not just go full bore into it? Joey, you're a future professional golfer, whether you like it or not.
Not. And, the answer's not that.
You're going to play 36 holes a day, and me. I'll also play those 36 holes with you.
Yeah, this is for you.
Yeah. Whoa.
This is for you.
What are you talking about?
That would be, this is for you, Dad.
Yeah, what is that old Bud commercial? This one's for you? Like, that this career's for you, Dad.
Yeah, this is all you.
I just want you to be like little Abigail Lynn here.
But I don't want Augusta. Your life, you know?
Too bad.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to get to Augusta. I mean, we're trying to get to Augusta.
No, you said it right. You said it right. I don't know. I try to let my son choose his own path, but I think I might have to be more Joe Jackson and make him, you know, do something. So we've been working on hoop a lot more. He's getting much better. You know, we played with him once before, Joe. He was trash. But now he's actually
just
getting much better.
Your son.
Well, no, my son is one of the smartest you know, young men. Like, when he plans to be an engineer and everything, awesome. Go make you some money.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
If Joey, STEM field?
Yeah. If Joey can be a pro golfer, be an engineer, for God's sakes.
I was like, man, do you, son. However, we are still young, and, you know, being social and playing sports is an important part of growing up. So I tried to make him, you know.
Join the engineering team.
Choose his own thing. Yeah, join robotics. Join robotics, you know, after school.
The engineering.
But yeah, he couldn't really dribble. Now he has a much better handle than he had. His shot was a little awkward. Now we've since fixed that a little bit. He kind of still goes into some of his old ways sometimes, but you have to be consistent. But yeah, like I said, me, Joe, a buddy of mine, and like our kids went to a park after a show one day. And Wallace Park, I think it was. Not too far from where we are.
My son is an idiot.
Oh, well, Jesus, suit. Like, yeah, that's not mine. But he's pretty up there. But when it comes to sports, like, he's, yo, bro, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Just he's not dumb, but he's sports dumb. Like, get out there, and it's like, bro, where are you going? Where are you going? Wrong way, you know, type thing. So, but we got out there and went to
Wallace
Park.
Yeah, I might have broken his ankles a time or two during that day.
Joey's nice, and Joey's, like, maybe 2 years younger than my son. And so Joey was out there. He's getting to the lane. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. My son just couldn't figure it out. Just couldn't, you know, figure out which way was up. So we've been working on that. And it's getting pretty good.
Well, Joe can take to the bank that he has broken his ankles a couple of times. Congrats, Joe, on schooling a 12-year-old.
I had to block Joey
I'll take
once.
It.
I had to block Joey once during that game.
You did.
And I screamed.
You had to send that S back.
I had to let him know we weren't playing over here. And the goal was to make sure all the kids could kind of get a little tougher, you know, as they're out there playing. So it was fun. We need to do that again.
I had to break Joey's back emotionally the other day. We were playing some pickup, and he got me in the first game to 21. I'll give him that. And then we played 1-11 and won that one with a deep, nasty three with him, like, right in my eye. And that one will always hurt. The game-winning three, just to end it, just game over. I think even as I threw it up, I went, wow.
Now, the question is, on the first game, did you kind of give him some points?
Oh, like, I always
right, bro,
do.
Like,
and as soon as he starts talking ass, I remind him, I just say, like, all right, I'll go 100% now.
But now the score
and
is
he's like,
now the score is like 9-6 and you're down three. It's like, all right, man, he just needs a couple more shots.
And then he called me out because in the third game where we went to 11, he was saying that, he's like, why don't you shoot threes? I'm like, all right, blah, blah. Blah, 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 nailed three in a row.
No,
just
he didn't
to
like
just.
That.
Oh, no, he did not. Right after that last one, and that was to win the game, too. Just hands on the knees, looking down at the ground.
Yeah.
The surrender cobra shows up. Just, he was
no.
He was broken.
So now that my son can play ish, he wants to horses what we do. Quick games. I'm going to try to be out here like all day. Cold. So
you dunk?
No, I don't. I just. A bunch of, you know, jumpers for the most part. And I try to take, like, far jumpers to give him a, you know, give him a chance to get back in the game or anything. But once it gets, like, he has H-O-R or I have H-O-R-S or something like that, now he starts talking. Now it's
Horvus whores.
He's like, okay.
Did you call me a hoe?
Okay. And so then I'll have to, then I will do something weird like dunk the ball or pat with both hands on the backboard and say, yep, you're up. You're
assert,
next.
Assert your dominance.
Yeah, you're
just
next,
looking like
bro.
Vince Carter out there.
Yeah.
All right, let's get going here. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Got some championship games on deck. We have a city in turmoil. Actually, two cities in turmoil. Now that I look at my notes, we will get to some golf, but want to take a break and get to something here next and give it enough time. So we will do that. Sports Sunday, Joe Fisher. Rashad Taylor, 1080 The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All righty. Looking at the USC women's golf team right now. It's up and it's good. There's a couple of there was a Netflix documentary that came out years ago called The Short Game that follows some of these kids that are golfers, and now they're like old enough where they're now in college. So one of them is on the USC women's golf team. I have to look up the rest of them to see if any of these are any good, if they're like still playing golf, if they're good, or if they're just bums now like you and I.
I mean, hey. Make an okay living.
See, if Joey could get free schooling, I think mission accomplished.
We all end up as bums.
That's the goal. That's the goal for all of us, you know, as parents, is just make sure college is paid for.
Please, for the love of God.
That's it. I don't care what you do.
All right. Want to get to this. There's really no way to segue into this, and it's been talked about on a few of the other shows, and we've been... we've known about this for a few months now, but it has just not been put out into the open. But a former host of this show, former host of The Hot Corner, former producer of Primetime, drop extraordinaire, guy that means so much not just to this station, but to you and I, Rashad, Mike Lynch. He unfortunately has been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And he finally went public on it about it the other day, I believe on Thursday or Friday, and let people know. And I mean, first things first, the support has been overwhelming. Already crushed their GoFundMe goal. They set it to about 15,000. It is now at $36,802. So just right there alone, just absolutely amazing the way that the community. Whether Portland sports community, the broadcast community, the fan community, wherever you know him from, just amazing job so far and continue to raise money for him. The GoFundMe page, it's been tweeted out by myself. It's been tweeted out by the fan, Isaac, Suk, whoever, you know, it's out there. I'll retweet it just so you got, anybody listening can find it easily on 1080 The Fan. But, I mean... There's no Sports Sunday without Mike Lynch, right? There's not a Hot Corner without Mike Lynch. There is not the thousands of drops without Mike Lynch. But with that being said, I mean, like, he is just one of the most genuine, thoughtful guys I've come across. And I'm just extremely happy that I've been able to work with him and have him as a colleague at any point in my life. Would always bring Joey into the station with me. And he treated him like a normal person, not like a kid, talking to him like a kid. Like, he knew that he liked basketball and liked video games and liked sports, liked soccer. Joey and him could talk about soccer, where I was the odd man out on that one. And, you know, it's just absolutely gut-wrenching. And I told you the other day, Rashad, it's just hard to wrap my head around that this is happening. And hope to see Mike soon. I know that's a long process and there's a lot going on with him emotionally, but yeah, just want to let people know what's going on with him. Again, you've been talking to him for months now and you've known about this and just keeping in touch with him. And Rashad, you've, you know, been in this situation with him, or this show rather, Sundays for years. So you're very close with him at his wedding. And so I can, you know, I can only imagine what you're going through as well, just because you and Mike were so close as well.
Wow, heart's going to be kind
of are fast. So close, rather.
Yeah, man. first, I want to say, man, to the fan community, to 1080 The Fan listeners, man, thank you. Like, thank you for, you know, donating. I don't think Mike was expecting that. And, you know, we kind of had a text on Friday. He was just saying how he didn't know how much support he had. He didn't know how much, you know, people cared. And I was like, man, people love you, bro. Like, you've been such a huge part of this station, since he was here, you know, since he was, doing small stuff, even being producer for Dirt and Sprague, you know, at a point. And, you know, Mike's done everything. And for me, he took a chance on your boy. You know, when I didn't win Hunt for the Host, like, I got third, I was supposed to be over. And because Mike was already doing a Sports Sunday show, yeah, I'll work with him. No problem. This guy that has no experience at all in anything, yeah, I'll take a chance and do that with him. And we just really were able to form a friendship that kind of, outside of this booth, you know, outside of the recording booth. And, you know, I'm just, when I heard that he was sick or that he, you know, was going through ALS, my heart just dropped to my stomach like a roller coaster ride just going down really fast.
You know, just to give you like a little bit of, you know, the background is like, you know, Mike, he talked about it in his Twitter post. He didn't really know at first. It's not like you just go to the doctor and they're like, you got ALS. Like it was a long process of a few months and he was telling you about this. And it was so just like not knowing what the hell was going on. I can't imagine what that's like for him. But again, just for you to be there and be that point of contact and a friend to talk to him and know about this. I mean, you and Patrick both, you know, that's how I was learning about this is from you and Patrick Harris. And so, it's just absolutely insane.
It's gut wrenching. Like it's one of those things because like you mentioned, Mike is arguably the nicest person that I know.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him angry, but you know, even still, it was still like Mr. Rogers got angry, like, gosh, golly, what the heck, you know, type thing. Mind you, it was definitely some curse words in there. But I don't know, man. I'm hurting for my friend, you know, hurting for our friend. You know, he's good. Bad things happen to good people. And Mike is great people. And I'm hoping that we're all hoping for the best. And again, to the fan listeners, for the ones that have been rocking with us, you know, I keep telling Joe, this is 10 years. You know, I've known Mike now for 10 years. Like, I got a chance to start the show 10 years ago. And the day I started, I work in education. I found out one of my students had died in a car accident. My very first show with the fan, they had died in a car accident hours before. So in my head, I'm thinking about all the things I have to do when I get off of work or when I leave the station and everything like that. And Mike really held my hand that entire time through that show. And as it's already hard enough to do your first show and be kind of nervous and all that type of stuff, just, you know, he really kind of held my hand through it and, you know, kind of talked me through it and everything. And man, I can never repay Mike for everything he's taught me and everything that I've been able to learn from him about doing this. And if I've gotten better at this at all, it's because I've really spent so much time with Mike, who was able to spend so much time with Isaac and Suk, and who was able to really kind of get poured into. So, man, to Mike, to his family, to Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, man, thinking about you, you know, praying for you, and you know, let's get through this, bro.
Yeah, and one of the best voices I've ever come across at this station.
He's made for this. Like, his voice was made for sports. Like, this is what he loves to do from his time at Syracuse and everything. When you hear Mike on the radio, it's professional, probably more than anybody else at this station. When you heard his voice, it was a professional sound. And yeah, it's tough to know that the thing he loved most, which is this, you know, was taken away from him. So, you know, I told you when I came in, Joe, man, I love you, my guy. Yeah, Jordan, love you, my guy. You know, we don't say these things enough to each other unless something bad has happened. You know, it's not just normal practice, especially as men, to just be like, bro, I love you and everything like that. But man, like me and Lynch only got to say that to each other while we were going through these really, we were both going through a divorce at the same time. So we were kind of there to support each other through that in certain ways. But it was never during the great stuff outside of, you know, the wedding that we got a chance, or during just the regular mundane Sundays that we would have in here. And so, man, tell your people you love them, check on them, because we never know, you know, what tomorrow can bring. And yeah, man, Mike, like I said, we all love you, bro, and we're all pulling for you. And again, man, to the listeners, I can't say how grateful, you know, I think we all are that you.
I mean, from Friday to Sunday to,
that's crazy, 36,000
raised 36,000
in 2 days, like. That's all y'all, and that shows, man, really the way Mike was able to touch lives, you know, when he was on air. So, man, thank you all. I truly, truly mean that.
And let me just add to what you guys are saying, too, because Mike was just amazing to me when I showed up at the station. I think we worked together for 2 months before he moved on to his position with the Blazers. It was just so obvious that guy, even from afar, put in the work. Not everybody knows you know, behind the scenes, how much work really goes on to get a radio show on the air. But the producer is usually left with a big chunk of that. The hosts do the other stuff. And Mike Lynch, you could just hear it, was here every day. I was a listener to the station before I worked here every day. And I know what it's like to be a producer and to put that grind in. Joe, you do as well. There's just so much work that goes into that. And he showed up without fail with a great attitude. And I love Mike for that. And I love him as a person. And that is something that I hold in high regard of him. And it just, this news breaks my heart.
Well, what's amazing to see, again, is not only the donation amount, but I was going through kind of who was donating the other day. And it was so many people, obviously, that we know from the fam, but also broadcasters and Blazer broadcasters, writers in the area. But as I'm going through this, man, I mean, you got people like Ian Eagle.
Wow.
That's donating, awesome.
You know, so like it's showing the reach that this has had and the impact it's had on people's lives. And, you know, I don't know if Mike is listening. If he is, love you, man. Hope to see you at some point whenever you're ready. I would just like him to know that there is one person that I don't know personally, but I know of. His name's Tim Green. He's a Falcon, former Falcons player. I think it was defensive end. Also a Syracuse grad mm-hmm. as well. And he was diagnosed with ALS in 2016, and he is still alive today. And he is right. He was a writer, an author, writing sports books for like middle schoolers, teenagers around there. And he's written like over 40 novels, still writing novels to this day, still getting out there, living his life in the way that he can. And so I just hope that although it's like the darkest time right now, is that know how many people love you, support you, and that you can still continue your life and find a way to go on. And I know things are tough, you know, can't play even video games, I'm sure. It's like just the basic things, obviously, in life, but the things that you love to do, like this job, right, are being taken away. But there is a way to continue on, and I hope that, again, that we can just see here soon, man, because I know that we tried to plan that getting beers at one time last year, I think in like August, September, and it didn't happen. And now I'm just looking at it, it's like, damn, you know, just want to see him, just to spend a few minutes with him and hang out with him. Whether it's talking Yankees, watching Yankees, you know, watching Orioles, Syracuse versus Pitt, which is something we used to talk about a lot. Big East basketball. It's just, you know, it just sucks, man.
Yeah, it's bad. But, you know, hopefully there will be some good that comes out of this. And, you know, Mike is such a great person that, you know, why can't he be the, you know, the one? And I think he can be, man. So, Mike, man, we love you. To Ashley, you know, who is Mike's girlfriend, man, thank you. You know, love you as well. You know, thank you for taking care of him, you know. And Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, you know, our hearts, you know, kind of go out to you and our thoughts. And so, yeah, praying for everybody involved. But get better, Mike.
Well, this is one thing that I know Mike and I have in common, and that is the hate for UConn Huskies basketball. And so we can talk about how UConn, damn them, are about to possibly win another national championship, but we got two national championship games on the horizon. One tomorrow, the men's, but then we have the women's game today. So let's go there. Let's take a break, collect ourselves, and get back into the sports stuff, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Love you, Mike.
Here's
Jordan Schultz, Sports Center Update.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, our national championship games are set in the men's and the women's. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the men's or the women's?
Ladies first.
Ladies first. Look at you.
Man, chivalry is not dead.
You're such a gentleman.
My man.
Well, how about we talk about him not only because chivalry isn't dead, but because it was just more exciting in the lead up to the Natty than the men's Final Four. I mean, it just was.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Like the games itself?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, that finish.
The games itself would have been awesome.
Yeah, the finish at the Iowa-UConn game at the end was ridiculous. That did it way more for me than the men's Final Four. That was crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as far as the men go, you have two teams that are clearly head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
Well, so. The biggest story in men's basketball right now is the video of Zach Edey walking a girl into a bedroom. Literally, that's the biggest story. Instead of like what's going on the court, or
I'm not familiar.
Oh, go on TikTok or Twitter. There's a video circling of Zach Edey at a college party. Well, what do you think he's doing? Walking a lady into a bedroom with a couple of other girls behind them with their mouths wide open. And that's a big deal. And the fact that Edey can't get paid by NIL because he's Canadian. Like, I'm hearing more about that than the actual games. And Caitlin Clark, it's all about what's on the court. And I love that.
Well, I'm sure he was just showing her his YouTube highlight package video. So,
oh yeah, the comments saying, "Oh, so we saw somebody entering a doorway." Well, what? Come on, guys, let's not be idiots.
Hey, man. It's knockdown city, bro.
Well, anyways, the women's games, the Final Fours. We had Iowa versus UConn, and then it was South Carolina versus NC State. I'll be honest with you. I didn't watch a lick of either of these games, but I did see that Iowa. I was keeping track of it, keeping an eye on it on, what was that, Friday? Question mark?
Yes. I believe.
What was I doing Friday? That's right. I was waxing my son on the basketball court myself. That's what I was doing. I was pulling my own Caitlin Clark nailing threes from long distances.
That's wild, yeah.
Yeah. Calm down, all right?
It's wild.
But Iowa, they came back in this game. I did. When I was checking the score, they were down in the first half. I was like, boy, if they don't win this game, nobody's going to be watching on Monday or Sunday. Excuse me. Today is the championship game at noon on ABC. I was like, nobody's going to be watching that. Well, sure enough, Iowa, they ended up pulling it out 71-69. South Carolina, they actually had a convincing victory where they didn't let the team crawl back in it looks like. They kept NC State at arm's length the entire time. But Iowa, they win in what some people are calling controversial fashion. But quite frankly, I mean, are we this stupid? Are we this dumb about the ending of this game? Because the big play that everybody was clamoring and crying over was the screen. The illegal screen call that was called on UConn that then changed possessions and gave Iowa the ball.
With like 7 seconds left or so, 4 seconds left.
Something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of ways to start with this, is that it wasn't a legal screen. Let's stop. The game's not rigged. You know, I understand that it's, you know, hard to understand that, you know, oh my God, a foul was committed with less than 10 seconds left in the game and a referee called it. And I'm sorry, to the people that are saying, you got to let the players decide it at the end of the game. You can't call. Well, a player did decide it at the end of the game by setting an illegal screen.
They were moving.
And not only moving, the step she takes to set the screen is a wide open step and left, leaning elbow into her. And why are we trying to defend UConn in this? Why are we trying to give, we've seen UConn in a championship game a million times. So let's, you know, calm down. We don't need to see it again. And also, let's not just say oh, wow, this game is rigged. No, stop. All right. The whole conspiracy theory thing in sports now where things just can't be. There always has to be some underlying motive. Agenda, something happening behind the scenes. They gotta let Iowa win. No. All right. The girl set an illegal screen, turnover, Iowa gets the ball. This is like when people are pulling the whole Patrick Mahomes thing earlier this year when Kadarius Toney was offsides.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was bitching and moaning on the at the press conference. You can't throw a flag right there. That play was just really cool. All right, and you just got to let the players decide that because that's a Hall of Fame player.
Is that your Patrick Mahomes voice? I love it.
I like
that's
yeah,
a
that's
Hall
good.
Of Fame player making a Hall of Fame play right there. It's like,
I love that show.
So is there like a time limit on the clock that where we just stop calling fouls or take it, like we just
I think depending on the foul. I mean, I don't know if a ref is call that foul, but you're absolutely right. It was a foul, right? It was an offensive foul.
I guess.
Regardless of what we want to say, it was an offensive foul. And, you know, I don't know. I think when you have a close game like this, like if they had been down 5, I don't know if anybody would have really batted an eye about it. But the fact that there's 7 seconds left with, you know, I think people were thinking overtime. Like the game had been so close. Because I did see some of the game.
An illegal screen at 5 seconds left in the game is an illegal screen with 5 minutes left in the
it
first
is,
quarter.
But, you know, there are these unwritten rules, and you're a baseball fan, so you love unwritten rules, right? There are these.
Calm down.
And you know, I mean, hate unwritten rules.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm one of those people. That's like, hey,
write
them
down.
There you go.
No, like, I'm the guy that says write them down.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm right with you, but it's kind of one of those unwritten rules. Like that's a call that you don't make at that point in the game. Egregious foul, across the arm, something like that, push, sure. Travel, double dribble, sure, absolutely. But an illegal screen with 7 seconds left in a 2-point game in the final four, like that's not something you call right.
Why?
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I understand why people are up in arms about it.
I don't get it.
And I understand why. I'm not saying it's right. Again, the first thing I said was what? It's a foul. Like that's kind of what it is.
And if this were,
but
the
again, those unwritten rules, like that's a we're not calling that at the end of the game.
And if this were the NBA, I think I would hear your point and absolutely understand it. But this is college basketball, right?
But this is the championship. This is the biggest part of college basketball. This is essentially the NBA. This is the Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals, essentially. Like, and this is not something in that moment in the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals they would have called.
But we know that the NBA, especially after the Tim Donaghy thing 15-plus years ago, we know that the NBA is a form of entertainment, more so than I think we would want to admit. The star players get foul calls, they get to the line all the time, and if you're a no-name, you don't. I can't stand the thought that that kind of reffing is leaking into college basketball. I thought the whole thing about ladies and men's college ball, guys, was that the chaos reigns, was that anything can happen. This is chaos right here. This is a young person committing a mistake, and they got called for the foul. Why is anybody up in arms about that?
I just, like, really can't believe the discourse that has come from this. Like, sorry, like, do you want games called correctly? The whole reason Paige Buchers got open on that play at the end, where she possibly could have taken a jumper, a wide open shot, which also, keep in mind, wasn't guaranteed to go in. So it's like, you know, it's not like she made it and actually took the shot.
No,
but also,
and Paige wasn't having a great game shooting. So.
And also, she got open because of that screen. Like, because of the girl getting checked by the UConn player, the name's escaping me. Like, she took a wide-ass open step to get out to that screen, to get to that position, and even chicken-winged her in the bot. Like, again, it was a foul.
It's tough,
like,
basketball, man. It's tough basketball.
Sorry. And
it's tough basketball.
The whole, we shouldn't call that, we should let the players decide this late in the game with the implications. And it's like, all right, basketball, I guess we're just going to change basketball just for a certain time frame.
If Pitt were in
the
final
game.
Four and you were down 2 points, and it was, or excuse me, 2 points at that point, and one of your players stepped out, so we wouldn't be, we'd be saying, oh, yep, good offense, Pitt. That's what we'd be saying.
You gotta be better. You gotta be better, Pitt.
No, that's what we'd be saying at that
point. It's unacceptable.
So it's not our team, so it's easy to say that. But again, I understand as you're watching this amazing game, right? That's the call that it's the right call. Again, I'm gonna keep saying that. That was the right call to make. I also understand the other side as why they would be pissed. You saw this amazing game for an hour, two point game. With 4 seconds left or whatever it was, and that's the call that changed the game.
Do you think that call is made at any level 20, 30 years ago in the style of basketball, which was more physical?
What point is, I mean, that was 20, 30 years ago was more physical. So,
no,
I mean, it's...
But I'm saying, is this a consequence of the game getting less physical, or is it this moniker that, like, in the last minute, we really should let these people play, and that's kind of what I'm pointing out. Like, so in 99, 2000, 2002, when the league was more physical, even in college, would you have let that go in the last minute, or would you have called it compared to now? There's a conversation as to where these leagues are and the entertainment value, as Rashad just pointed out. This is like the East and the West Championship for college.
I think they let it go. Like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I think that's a play, a screen. Mind you, dudes were screening with their forearms, you know, at
exactly.
a point. So, yeah, I think they let that go. And this much more...
Well, the Warriors have won 3 championships because of illegal screens.
Yeah, Draymond, I mean, nut-tapping guys. Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's worked. But, I mean, now, they're still using the same screens. You know, some people are getting tougher and running through those.
Well,
you
poor
know?
UConn. I just feel so terrible for UConn women's basketball. Those poor...
I know, the have-nots, right?
Poor Gino.
Yeah.
With all that being said, as the narrative goes, we get what everybody wants. Iowa versus South Carolina.
Versus number one. Like, how could you be mad about that?
I mean, South Carolina trying to complete the undefeated season. South Carolina trying to avenge their one loss from last year in the Final Four against Iowa. Iowa trying to cap off their season and Caitlin Clark's career with a national championship. Like, the narrative and how this all lines up is what everybody wants, and whether the NCAA was making the calls to the referee at halftime, you better let Iowa win this damn game.
And
I
so,
swear to God.
And here's the cool part: like,
do what you have to. Call the legal screen with 5 seconds left. I don't care.
Enjoy what we're seeing from Caitlin Clark, because be a fan now. Because as she gets more successful, and as she starts winning more, especially if she moves to the next, when she moves to the next level,
Big Three.
I mean, if she wants that $5 million, who's it? What's my man?
Ice Cube.
No, but somebody said they'll give her $10 million to play for their specific Big Three team. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Dolph. Or no, not Dolph, but what's the other guy from Chicago?
If you're asking me about Big Three basketball and who's on what team and who's making decisions, you're asking the wrong person,
yeah,
buddy.
But either way, I think Caitlin Clark is going to get that Steph Curry treatment in a while. We love them when we love them, but once they start winning too much, like, this is irritating. And now we're over it type thing. So hopefully that doesn't happen to her, but I kind of see that happen as well.
All right. There's a men's championship game.
Oh, there's that too.
There is a men's championship game, which kind of like the women's game, I think everybody is getting what they want as far as the best matchup in the field. We'll get to that next. Men's national championship game tomorrow. Sports Sunday, 10:80 The Fan.
Rashad and I are trying to figure out how to go in on a timeshare together.
You in, Jordan?
What? Hell no. Absolutely not.
Between the three of us, we can make it happen.
Just got to sit through a 2-hour pitch. That's all.
And then they might give us free tickets to, like,
where they're going to berate
Jersey
you.
Jersey Boys or something like that.
Insult
afterwards.
You, call you out on personal
motives. Tell you how
motives.
Broke you are. You don't care about your children, clearly, if you don't buy this time.
Oh, yeah. You don't care about the rest of your family.
No,
you're,
I don't.
You're cheap. You're a piece of S if you don't buy this
timeshare
and give this creepy salesman some money. Yeah.
Yeah, I am a piece of S and I don't care about my family. Now, please give me that free vacation you promised. Yeah. I got a call. What is it, like a week or so ago? Because at the Portland Golf Show, they got a few different of these things there. But when you walk in, you got to sign up to try and get some like golf giveaways, which, of course, I'm going to do that. But also, it's clearly to like let these other companies know, like, yeah, you can email this dude. Yeah, reach out to this guy. I got a call like 2 weeks ago, and the lady's just like, hey, this is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah destinations. You won a free vacation. Where do you want to go?
I won.
It was in that, like, literally, that's what it was. Where do you want to go? I was like, anywhere?
France.
And I was like, options? Like, oh, yeah, you can go here, here, here. I'm like, well, I would like to go to all those places. I was basically throwing it right back at her, like, all right, let's get to the point here. And then as soon as she said that, yeah, we would just need you to come in to receive the gift and you would have to sit through a 2-hour meeting with us. Click. I was like, yep, that's what I thought.
I mean, if that's it, couple hour meeting, I think I'm in.
But they say 1 or 2 hours. It turns into 5, 6, or 8
Sorry,
hours.
Sorry, I got to go after two. You said 2 hours. I might give you 2.5. But if nothing else, I mean, I've wasted 2 hours doing less. So, I mean,
I very much want to give one of these a shot, because I remember going down like a rabbit hole on Reddit one time of people that it's like it was on like Ask Reddit. It was like, have you actually sat through a time share pitch? and received the vacation or received the prize that you were promised.
I have.
I have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that I feel like I just need to bite the bullet for 2-3 hours at one of these vacation destinations that I go
to. It's a free vacation.
Yeah.
And then just, like I said, just deal with all the insults and all the just personal attacks.
Yeah.
And I mean, for 3 hours and then end up signing on that contract and end up with a timeshare somehow.
You can sometimes get lucky and get somebody that has a brain across from you. It is not all idiots doing those timeshare presentations. It was like, I think in Cannon Beach, my grandma had a timeshare property at one point, and we got like a $100 Amex gift card to go sit through a presentation. It was,
oh, that's not good enough for me.
See, it was funny because it was a Sunday.
I'm gonna need like at least $500 Amex gift card.
Good
if you're
luck with
me,
that.
Sit through that.
Then they're gonna be a lot less nice than they were.
$50
to
an
us.
Hour to be talked to. Like, I'll take it.
Bring it on, bitch.
But you should have seen him. It was perfect for sports guys because on a Sunday it was an NFL game Sunday, and every single person was wearing their team's jersey. So it was like this all fun vibe, and we're like telling this person who's probably our age, it's like, hey, guess what? We're poor. We're here on our grandmother's timeshare. We're not going to get anything. You can try to sell us this, but this is how much money we make. It just doesn't happen. So give us $100 and we're out. All right. And that worked, but it doesn't work for everyone.
No, not at all. No, I did one in Las Vegas, and I think they said we can give you tickets to Lion King or
free show tickets.
And I was like, yeah, let's go to Lion King, man.
Yeah,
which
no,
was awesome.
I'm going to need more than Lion King tickets, my man. More than $100. And I'm playing hardball here.
Steve Kelly on YouTube says, girlfriend and I bit the bullet for timeshare pitch for free dinner while in Mexico. See, I'd be scared about doing it in a foreign country because they I feel like they're a little bit more pushy than they would be in America.
Well, but depends on the country.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would, again, a free dinner. Again, I need more.
So you said 500, Joe?
Oh, dude, I mean, I've heard of some of these timeshares where they're giving you a vacation or something like
have
that.
Have you seen what that vacation actually is, though? Because there's been...
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of loopholes. You got to go during, like, the worst weather season. It has to be, like, a Tuesday through a Thursday
that
or something like that.
That was the plot of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
God,
a bad timeshare?
Yeah, they sent him on a bad vacation during the storm season, and then the murderer came to kill everybody.
This is probably a decade old now, but there was an investigative report.
I did not
like,
even know that's what that movie was about.
Yeah, neither did I, actually.
Yeah, go watch. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Go check it out.
No, it's like ABC or CBS did an investigative report in the last 10 years about these timeshare. Actually, Joe, what you're specifically talking about, that free vacation call, right? And they kept looking, and they kept looking further into it. There was no free vacation to be had. It is literally a predatory pitch to get you in the building, and if you might be willing to pay different levels of money along with filling out different forms over a period of a few years, there's a chance that you'll receive like a voucher for a vacation, but it's very slim.
Yeah, I'm reading some about it's technically a free vacation, but the dates are super limited and conveniently never actually available. And there's fees and whatnot. See, this person saying, I sit through a timeshare presentation once or twice a year and end up with $300 gift cards. See? That's what I'm talking about. $300 gift cards for resort restaurants.
Thank you.
Let's say that's an extreme couponer right there.
Yeah, but the whole entirely free vacation thing isn't true. I don't know. I'm going to start...
Joe's gonna start going to bust this around. Myth. Yeah.
I'm going to start living a glamorous life just based off of timeshare pitches and listening to them. What do you do in your free time?
I wonder how much
pitches.
Those guys get paid. Like, I mean, pitching the timeshares. I wonder how much they
Nothing.
Get paid.
It's commission-based. It has to be. That they look like the unhappiest people on this planet.
They got to be, I'm sure, pretty cold-blooded if they're doing those pitches.
Well,
just looking people in their face like, do you not care about your kids? Look at them. Look at their face. You don't want them to have something you can pass down to them and then
I'll look right in their face and say, man, F them kids. No, I don't care nothing about that. I'm not buying no timeshare.
You guys both know those are the kinds of like all call positions like they offer up on Craigslist, right? Like salespeople needed. That's how they get those peeps.
They say you got to be a cold-blooded killer if you get into that game.
That's why I'm taking a tangible gift. Give me the tickets to the Mariners game or to the, you know, to the play. I'll take that.
All right. Well, we have to sit through a game tomorrow for two and a half hours if you choose to. We don't get a vacation.
Speak for yourself.
We don't get a free dinner at the Ritz or something like that.
WrestleMania Monday.
But That's not a thing. I guess Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
after WrestleMania, yeah.
That's right. That is happening right now. I was considering about going to a friend's to watch day two.
I'm gonna.
But a nap sounds pretty good, too. All right, we're going to get to some college basketball. National championship game tomorrow. Men's side. Do that hour number two next. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday. 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, YouTube, Twitch for the kids. Still trying to lobby that we throw this thing up on OnlyFans. Never know what people's kinks are. Just watching two dudes.
Gotta get the TikTok going, too.
That's above our pay grade. In fact, we don't even get paid for that at all.
Do we even Do we have fans that are on TikTok? Are you on TikTok, Joe?
No.
No, but it's the best way. You were saying reaching the younger peeps. That is another great way to reach the younger peeps. Getting that live stream up on TikTok.
Yeah, let's start creating dances.
Oh,
I can
God.
Do it. Easy. What do you guys want to learn?
No. I'm good.
I'm chubby. I'm white. I don't look good dancing.
Which is why you're going to be the one to be doing those TikTok dances.
People yeah, watch be like, out. Get the hell off my screen.
Like, seriously. Like,
shirt off.
You could go viral for us and bring more eyes, you know, not just to Sports Sunday, but
that's right.
To
get them
all
clicks.
The shows.
Get them clicks, baby.
Yeah, bring the truffle shuffle back in 2024. Nah, that ain't happening.
Hot. We'll be caught dead before jumping on the TikTok, I believe, on 1080 The Fan. Don't think that'll be happening anytime soon.
I think it would. It will eventually.
I've uploaded a couple things to the old Instagram Reels before.
Hey, there you go.
On our page, because I feel like that's like less of a cesspool. It's basically the same stuff from TikTok, but for some reason, feels cleaner. I feel better about myself looking at videos on that versus actually going to like TikTok. I don't know if it is better, but I like to believe that it is. So I'm sticking with that story.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sticking with it. Damn it. Let's see here. What's going on? Sports and stuff, right?
Men's game?
That's right. Men's game. That is tomorrow. And I would say, fun fact here, Purdue, the second team ever and only to lose to a 16 seed 1 year and then make the national championship the very next year.
Well, go ahead, Boilermakers.
Yeah. Whether they will win, we shall find out. They are going up against UConn tomorrow in the national championship game. Do you got a tip time? Channel for me, Rashad?
Yes, I can grab that for you right now.
Scrolling.
6:30 TBS.
6:30 TBS, and that's why also the West Coast is the best coast for sports viewing.
Yikes.
Because if you were on the East Coast, a UConn fan, that'd be tipping off at 8:30.
Why is this game on TBS?
Well, and Purdue as well. They're yeah, I believe I in the Central Mountain or Central Time Zone.
It doesn't say like TBS/TNT/CBS or
nah, man. This just thing TBS. Says, TBS.
Yeah, that's not good. That's really dumb.
That's awful. Like,
I mean, we literally have the women's championship game on ABC, which is fantastic.
I mean, TBS used to have like NBA basketball. Remember that?
They still do.
I don't know if they have NBA.
Who do they have?
I mean, they do obviously college basketball this time.
No, they used to, you know, the TBS and TNT, and you know that's where, you know, obviously inside the NBA was, you know, from there. But yeah, TNT or NBA used to be on TBS, you know, all the time.
Well, they used to air the Atlanta Braves all the time too back in the day.
Yeah, that was that was their station.
Either way, that's egregious. That should not be a thing.
That's a typo.
Do you think we're getting to the point like maybe next year we'll actually? It's hard to schedule the first rounds together where the national championship ends up on the same day. But do you think, like, I don't know, a team could skip a day, or they could formulate it to where the men's and women's natties could be like a 12 tip on a Sunday, then like a 3 p.m. tip on a Sunday or something?
Ooh,
like that?
Do a little men's and women's double header.
Yeah, why not? That's the best way to get it consumed by everybody out there, right?
Yeah, two games back-to-back for the most part. Like, why?
Well, I would also say, I mean, I think the first thing is that it's on TBS, for God's sakes.
That's true.
Like, what are we doing?
Well, everybody's been bitching and moaning, and rightfully so, about the ladies' college game getting to the level of the men's college game. It's obvious that it is being pushed out way farther than the men's game this year, guys. The ladies' game on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Plus.
Get out of here.
Come on. Isn't even close. So, yes, you guys are right. This sucks. The men's game should not be on this late. But, hey, we're here.
Not even that late.
It's the national championship game, for God's sake. It's Catalina wine mixer.
But the ladies are here, and that's good to see. You know what? The fact that we're talking about the men's teams dealing with this as opposed to the ladies, I think that's great. We've actually advanced in society to where we want to watch a ladies' basketball game more than we want to watch a men's basketball game right now. And I find that awesome.
And you're seeing that, but just by looking at the stations in which the game is going to be broadcast on. If you're the men's game and you're not even on TBS and TNT. You're just TBS, right? And so I don't even think I have TBS on, you know, because I have
cable.
If you have TNT,
you have rabbit ears?
Okay. I don't. No, I have, well, here's the thing. I have Max. So because of Max,
you definitely
I have TNT and stuff like that. But like if I were to have Fubo, which I got just to watch the Blazers play.
Well, you're burning your money, my friend.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely canceling this year. But also, Fubo gives me ABC and NBC and all the other channels
Pac-12
Network, useless all the other things. Doesn't really matter at this point. But I still get all the other, you know, stuff that I'll need. TBS and TNT, if I'm not watching the Thursday game, I'm pretty much doesn't really matter to me. So for this game to be on TBS, for those who don't have Max, because Max is kind of corny outside of that. But, yeah, I feel bad for – not feel bad for the men, because the women's game has been so much more exciting this year. Quick, Jordan – well, not Jordan, because I know you know. But, Joe, name three stars from college basketball that don't play for Oregon and aren't playing in the – haven't played in the Final Four.
That haven't played in the Final Four?
Yeah.
That one guy. Those three guys. You know who I'm talking about.
We don't know them. Like we don't know who those guys are. You know, it's hard to be excited about watching a bunch of kids that you don't really know who they are or who's cold or whatever the case is. Like we can name, you know, outside of these two teams playing, we can name, and outside of the teams in the Final Four, we could probably name another few women that play college basketball this year that were big names, that were bigger names. And so I think the ladies have got it right. I think, you know, considering the way the draft works now, and considering the way that Angel Reese is a junior, right? And Caitlin Clark is also like a junior.
Both headed to the WNBA.
Yeah,
you know,
Paige Bueker is a junior. These are ladies that have been there for a few years and been able to get eyes on them, so at least we care enough about the game. Like, the best player from UConn is probably a freshman and probably leaving, you know, this year. And the best players from Kentucky who got, you know, beat in the first round, they're probably leaving this year as well. No one cares about the men's game. Like, the best players, in most cases, don't even go to college anymore. They're coming from Europe. They're going straight to the G League and stuff like that. They don't need to go to college anymore like that.
You're rude for putting that on me, just right on my plate without me giving me time to actually look up the names of players in college basketball. But I definitely know Armando Bacot, Kyle Filipowski,
right?
Hunter Dickinson for Kansas. You're rude. That's three right there.
That's three.
You want me to keep scrolling
reading
on this list?
Yeah, I mean,
Bronny James. Hello.
Five points a game
in the transfer portal, and also probably going. The Blazers are going to pick him. that second overall.
That whole declaring for the draft thing is so stupid.
If he goes to the draft, and when he goes to the draft, and the Blazers are going to be the first, second, or third pick, more than likely second or third because we're Blazers, then Bronny James, I think somebody's going to be looking like, you know what? He's going to be able to help us get buckets. And maybe he does. Maybe Bronny comes to the NBA and he's what he should have been, you know, in college. College isn't always the best job of showcasing players' talent. Can we agree on that?
Well, because of the way the game's played.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's a little different. But well, 5 points is 5 points.
What is the kid for Colorado, Cody Williams, who's supposed to be like a top five pick? Like, you watch any of his games in the Pac-12 tournament or in the tournament itself, because I think they played in the first round and the second round. I don't know if he got double-digit points each time, and mm-hmm. he's like a project, but still it's just very much like, all right, well, and that's one thing that with the men's game is that there is not when's the last time we have had, like, I guess since Zion, a bona fide star entering college basketball.
Zion and Ja, outside of that, but Ja wasn't even the star coming in.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he was at Murray State, and so it's like, maybe the NIL starts to change the tide of this. And also, it was announced earlier this week that G League Ignite is being shut down.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even going to be a thing going forward. So maybe some of these kids who are looking to get this NBA development and get a paycheck. Well, I mean, college basketball with NIL and might be more of a feasible option.
It might be.
For
going to Europe as well, you know, going to play overseas. And mind you, Luka Doncic was a European MVP when he was like 16, like 17. And he was like winning MVPs in the Euros. And now he's arguably the best player in the NBA. You know, we can make a legit argument for Luka being the best in the league. Maybe that's another lane for people. Go at 16, play with some grown men. And then, you know, by the time you're 18, 19, you've played in the Euros for three years. Go ahead and come to the NBA then.
Joe, great point, too, about Scoot Henderson and the G League Ignite that I think is worth pointing out. Scoot would have made more in the current NIL structure staying in college 100%. Than he ever could have done with the G League Ignite. I understand he's 20 years old and just signed an NBA contract, but we're talking like Caitlin Clark, for instance, making near $10 million in NIL money right now. I mean, the numbers that these kids are getting now year to year is way more than the G League could have ever paid them.
So. Yeah, yeah. And Caitlin Clark is way more than she's making in college. She's not going to make that in the WNBA.
No,
she's
endorsements
gonna make that
will
from
help.
Endorsements, yeah, but she's not going to make that forever from her WNBA contract.
Well, in a classic sports radio line here, we'll see what happens. But we will see what happens with the women's game after Caitlin Clark leaves, if it's able to keep this momentum for the years to come. And quite honestly, the men's game, like I said, they need more stars. They need more household names. They definitely need to get their game off of TBS, for God's sakes. Deal on the Vancouver Forward text line says CBS and TBS switch every year. But
does it? I'd much rather play on CBS.
I'm sorry, guys. The fact that an ugly Canadian white dude is the best player in college basketball right now for the men, it just doesn't help.
Hey, well, he's
Steven Nash was the best player in the NBA for a
you said he's
year,
leading girls into the dorm room, so he's clearly not that ugly, Jordan.
Right? It's not
he
about his face. Because you look at his face.
Oh, we know.
And you actually, hell,
he is 7'4".
Have you
we
seen
know
Bo
it's
Bo's
not his face.
Have you seen her? Look, Google Bo Bo's girl.
I hate this
one. You do not need to be attractive once you were in the NBA.
Once you got
NFL,
money.
NFL or Major
I literally
League
Google
Baseball.
Bo Bo chick.
Bo Bo's lady.
Good for him. I should say that.
Yeah.
Good for
Or Tony Snell's wife.
I'm sure those ladies think that those guys are just so cute. Just so cute.
It's true love.
Tony right? Snell has no business with that woman.
Wow.
No business, but he's a millionaire. So
again,
what can you say?
Good for them too. That's true love.
Come on, man, stop it.
Look, that's multiple children.
Don't do it, fellas.
Eh, she's all right.
Don't do it.
It's up and it's good. What are we talking about? What's going on? What other sports stuff? Oh yeah, I got. We'll see if I even get to my golf stuff. We might actually be able to smash two of these segments into one because they're things that are related. Do you want? I'm gonna leave it up to you, Rashad. NFL or NBA next?
Ooh. We haven't talked any we're smack dab in the middle or the end of the NBA season. Let's do some NBA.
Okay. There is one team who is absolutely falling apart at the wrong time.
Oh, jeez. Please don't say Please don't say the Blazers.
Well, I mean, no. What are you talking about? Winners are back-to-back, bud. That's what they call a win streak. No, it's definitely not the Blazers, even though they are broken. We get to another team that is actually in the playoff contention that is completely broken. We do that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
This was supposed to be a good time, and now I can't sit for a week because of what you've done to me.
Whoa, what the hell?
Whoa, Joe. Chill.
What is that? It's not this.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat. So good.
Mike's
in the background.
That was so perfect.
That's what sold it.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat. So good.
So for context, jerks.
Oh, we don't need context.
Yeah, we need context.
No,
yeah.
It's all right.
No, we were talking about pastrami, just so we're clear.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure.
That's what they call it nowadays.
Let's play it one more time.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat. So good.
Guys, that sounds like a porno conversation. Just that they're both laid back. It's chill.
Even the
Oh man.
Oh god.
Good times, man.
So funny.
The pastrami was really good. Like it was like a real like sliced pastrami right in front of you, like straight out of the smoker or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
Rashad says that.
Hold on, everybody. Here's the situation.
It's pastrami.
Oh, what's this one? Here's a...
Yes!
Swag. I love it. One more time.
Yes!
That will be the Milwaukee Bucks if they ever get a win in the rest of the season against a competent team.
That's who you want to talk about.
When they won't lose to a lottery team.
Yes!
But soon enough, they will be saying this.
It's over!
About their NBA season, because dear God, they're terrible. I think I saw that they're 14-15 since they hired Doc Rivers. Blame the equipment manager, damn it. It's a lackadaisical attitude from everybody in the organization when they're on the road. You see, you saw that? You know, Giannis, earlier this year, he was calling out the team. Everybody from the players to the equipment manager, we all got to be...
And that kid is like, what did I do?
We all got to be better. Doc Rivers pulled the card, too. I'll find the exact quote, but he was saying the other day about, like, their road presence, like how they are on the road as they'll lose a game, and then everybody's just, you know, on to the next city, all smiles, acting like everything's all good. And so Doc was saying, we all got to be better to the equipment managers, to the players, all of us. We all got to step our game up. And then... they went and lost to the third straight lottery team this week. This week, the Bucks have lost to three lottery teams. I believe it was first either the Wizards or the Pistons. It was the Wizards on Tuesday, 117-113. Then they lost the very next day to the Grizzlies at home, 111-101. And then the Raptors, who had lost 15 games in a row, who were on crack, they lost 117-111 at home. That's three straight lottery teams they lost to. Things are going great.
Things are going awesome. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's things are going so well for our boy Dame in Milwaukee. Mind you, he's winning much more than he was here.
He didn't even want to go there.
Should be noted. And then when he got there, he was like, this is really boring in Milwaukee. I don't do anything but play 2K, you know, all day or play video games
or watch boxing videos.
Yeah, like, I mean, listen, I think Milwaukee is a team that kind of knows that where they are in the standings, they're clearly behind Boston. Boston, you know, has clinched clinched their playoff spot already.
Yeah, they
Boston's good. Like, but everybody else, like, they know the Cavaliers aren't creeping up on them just because they've lost, you know, a couple in a row at this point. So the Cavaliers are still a game and a half behind them. Not worried about Orlando catching up with them. They play when they want to. For the first time, Dame has a bona fide superstar playing on the side of him. And really, we could say that
playing with multiple all-stars. I mean, if you want to throw Chris Middleton into that.
No, and I'm saying, but not that he hasn't played with really good players, like solid players like Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton is a star player, right? If he goes to another team, he's probably going to average somewhere around 23, 24 again. But Yeah, I mean, he was, because when they were winning a championship, he was right around 20 points. So you think that if he becomes the number one scorer, you know, I see a lot of Michael Redd in
because he was a Buck. You're just drawing that.
No, I'm saying just because Michael Redd played with Ray Allen for a minute and like didn't get the buckets that he should have got, and then Ray Allen left, and all of a sudden, man, what do you know? I'm an all-star, or I'm on the Olympic team, and all type of stuff like that. I think Chris Middleton, number one, is a 3-and-D guy. He can shoot. He can play defense. And now that he doesn't have to be the secondary scorer all the time, like, you know, he can do a little bit more of that. But I'm looking at a Boston team that's just under bad leadership. I'm being honest. They weren't worried about losing this many games in a row with Adrian Griffin. They were worried they weren't winning games by enough. Right? That was the big thing with Adrian Griffin. Like, it's just us doing this, and we're over here. Now I'm sure he's somewhere with all his millions, hands behind his head, laughing, laxed, and chilling because, yeah, you shouldn't have hired. You mean to tell me you're going to replace me with as the best record in the league, one of the best records in the league, with a coach that has showed you over and over and over and over again that even with some of the best talent, I just can't get it done? That's who you decide to replace me with. Hey, man, like you, Giannis, you want to be a superstar? You want to make superstar calls? Here you go. The Bucks are in this position because you decided to force out your coach.
15-16 since firing Adrian Griffin and hiring Doc Rivers, the Milwaukee Bucks are. What does this say about?
You're literally middle of the road.
What does this say about the Eastern Conference that they're still the 2 seed? I mean, they're a game and a half above the Cavs. They're 2 games above the Orlando Magic, who are the 4 seed. The Knicks are tied with them for that 4 seed, and actually the Bucks and Knicks play each other. The Knicks got a huge blow with Julius Randle being ruled out for the season. I mean, dear God, man. I mean, we talked about this a few months ago, is that, like, if the Celtics don't come out of this Eastern Conference or damn near, like, don't win the NBA Finals, I mean, the Nuggets are looking like the Nuggets again, how they were last year, but there is no reason why the Celtics should not just mollywop this whole conference. And again, that, like, when the Bucks are playing this bad and they're still the 2 seed, it's just like, damn, the East, you must really suck.
Yeah, Boston leads by 14 games over Milwaukee right
Dear
now.
God,
it's
man.
Just ridiculous. And the level of talent over the rest of the East, it's there. I mean, you got really good pieces on a lot of these teams.
That's why the Blazers suck, man. It's just that Western Conference is just tough,
just so
right?
Thick, right?
It's not any other reason besides that.
You look at Jalen Brunson leading the Knicks, Paolo Banchero and Jalen Suggs leading the Magic, Donovan Mitchell on the Cavs. Like, these teams all have really good star players, yet I don't know. It's like since the All-Star break, nobody can shoot. Who got? It was the Celtics, I think, that lost a 26-point lead a week or two ago, and that's the best team in the East. These teams are just playing, and I hate to use this word in regards to sports because you are paid to be consistent, so you're just playing good, and if you're not consistent, you're bad. So these guys are just playing badly right now. They've been shooting way too inconsistently since the All-Star break, and honestly, it's kind of astounding to see. I get basketball as a game of runs. But in the Eastern Conference, especially, these big leads that they give up and come back from, it is astounding to me that professional millionaires can't score for stretches of 4 or 5 minutes.
No, that's just one. You know, the biggest, Boston is 14 games ahead of the rest of the Eastern Conference. The biggest thing we've been talking about for Boston is Jason Tatum and the fact that during the fourth quarter, they've lost 16 games all season. He's not a closer in the fourth. Like, that's insane, you know, and they're still, Boston is still 14 games ahead of the rest of the pack, you know, in the Eastern Conference, and this guy can't close a game. Well, what do you need to, in most cases, if you're winning your games by 20 or winning your games, like, their point differential is 11.6, excuse me. So that means they're pretty much blowing teams out of the water, you know, every single night. And so the nights that you don't and you're not there in the fourth quarter, so I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of bad shots, a lot of jacking right now. A lot of people that are just getting the ball and chucking it up. And so, pause. I see you're ready to come with it, Joe.
But, I'm gonna go pull that.
Yeah, but so that's what I'm seeing. And then there's a reason why teams like Miami, who doesn't chuck a lot of shots, you know, all the time, they typically been making it deeper into the playoffs than some teams that are just really, really trigger happy when it comes to shooting the ball. But this Milwaukee team, I think they think that they're going to be able to turn it on in the playoffs. And they might be able to, because who's going to stop Giannis? Who on the
do
perimeter?
We think that?
I mean, there's potentially.
Do we think?
Yeah, they're still the second seed in a conference that's. I'm not going to call them weak, because I think each team that's in the playoffs has great players, you know, with the exception of maybe Atlanta, you know. But even Atlanta, between Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, are great.
All right, we got to go. We're over. Some stadium stuff going on. Do we really think either of these teams are going to move? We get to that next here on Sports Sunday. Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter Update.
A lot of jacking right now.
We'll trim it up. We'll clean it up a little bit.
You're so immature, Joe.
I am.
So all immature.
Right. So the Chiefs and the Royals, apparently Missouri voters reject stadium tax for the Chiefs and the Royals, where they would have
good
paid
for
the
them.
Stadium.
Yeah,
good
I'm
for
clapping
them.
That one. That's
you're
awesome.
A billionaire. Pay for your own damn stadium.
Yeah. Get your PSIs, your personal your PSLs, personal seat licenses. Yeah.
So it was a sales tax measure that would help fund a new downtown ballpark along with major renovation. You know, I'm going to pull out the timeshare pitch on these fans. Do they not care about their teams? Do they not care about their beloved Chiefs and Royals? Don't they want a nice new stadium? What's wrong with you guys?
Just a little investment every single time.
Don't
at
anybody
the
want that?
Sit through this meeting, please.
Don't nobody want that, because Arrowhead is just fine.
Well, now the Royals and who's this guy? Sherman. We're deeply disappointed, as we are steadfast in our belief that Jackson County is better with the Chiefs and the Royals. As someone whose roots run deep in this town, who has been a dedicated fan, season ticket holder for both of these teams, and now leading a remarkable ownership group, what is in the best interest of our fans? And something about we're going to figure out how to keep the team here, but we're also going to leverage possibly moving. These teams aren't going to move. I'm calling it now.
No.
Whatever, whether it's a law, tax, something that gets passed, or for the first time ever, ownership group stepping up and footing the bill for a new stadium and ballpark, I don't know what's going to happen. The Chiefs ain't leaving Kansas City. The Royals ain't leaving Kansas City. Those are two storied franchises in both those leagues. It ain't happening.
And the Royals won a World Series, what, 5 years ago?
Not like a decade.
Yeah, it was
It's been 10 years already?
Like 2015, I think.
It was like 15 or 16, something like that.
Jeez, it seems like, yeah.
Because I remember it was the primetime World Series.
2015.
Rob's Kansas City Royals versus Jason Zucanic's New York Mets.
Yeah, okay. Dang, that doesn't feel like it was that long ago. But yeah, storied franchises, and especially if you're talking about the Chiefs, three Super Bowls over the last, 6 years or something like that? Like, man.
Too many.
Too many to be trying to relocate somewhere. So
can't they just give one of those to the Cowboys?
I mean,
just literally give them the trophy and say, like, you know what? You
just hang on to this. I'll be back for it. Yeah. No, nobody wants to give the Cowboys anything.
Well, it would, that actually would bring a Super Bowl closer to Dallas, possibly. The mayor of Dallas was clamoring this week about how, hey, we'll take a second team over here in Dallas. Because apparently I didn't know this, the Kansas City Chiefs used to be the Dallas Texans.
They're going to bring back the Oilers?
Long, long time ago, they were the Dallas Texans. And then they did their relocation to Kansas City, and then that's when they...
Yeah, they didn't want to compete with the Cowboys. They're like, nope, we're done.
They took over the moniker of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, the Dallas Texans played in the National Football League for one season in 1952. They posted a record of 1-11.
Well, the Texans are taken.
History for the Dallas Texans.
Yeah. So, does the Houston Texans get their lineage then? Do they get their...
No. No, it's all like the franchise. It's all franchise based. This is why, like, the whole Charlotte thing is a little weird. Like, for a while, like, the Charlotte Hornets, I think the Charlotte Hornets, they did end up, like, I don't know, winning the rights to their franchise's history. But that actually belonged to the Pelicans for a while, because the Charlotte Hornets we know now were formerly the Charlotte Bobcats, which were an expansion team. So their franchise history was the Charlotte Bobcats to now.
Yeah, all whereas, those 90s Hornets like Muggsy Bogues, they are technically Pelicans.
Yeah, whereas the New Orleans Pelicans were formerly the New Orleans Hornets, which were the Charlotte Hornets of the 90s and early 2000s. But I'm pretty sure that the NBA was just like, you know what?
Who cares?
The Charlotte Hornets, just take their history.
Well, isn't it the
take
same?
Take the storied history of the Charlotte Hornets and everything they've achieved.
Isn't it the same thing like the OKC Thunder?
In Seattle, yeah.
They have the rights, but Seattle, if a team ever starts back up, then the banners and the player history then returns.
I'm pretty sure OKC has Seattle's championship.
But like, they will go possession. Back yeah. when Seattle, because I do say when Seattle gets a new team in the NBA.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm calling it. There's no way that either of these teams are leaving that city.
No, and again, I'm one of those people that's like, why am I paying for these owners' stadium? Why or dome? Or
don't you
want to
care?
No, I don't.
It's just odd that you're asking them to pay for a tax on the stadium and then also show up to buy tickets and merchandise and really expensive food.
Which you're not
makes
discounting.
No sense.
You're not discounting at all. Like, those tickets are still going to be expensive. So I have to pay for your stadium and then pay to get into the stadium that I just paid for.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
If you run a tax on us locally, do we get like a Kaufman County discount to get into your stadium? No, you're not giving one, you jerks.
No.
Come on.
No, you're not. You don't even get, at the end of the season, I've never seen Jordan come to this station not wearing Mariners gear, right?
Well, and if it's not that, it's Oregon gear.
Oregon gear. I've never seen you, well, you have come, but when you are wearing any type of team gear, it is Dallas. God, see, Joe, you're so immature.
I didn't say it.
When you are here at the station and you decide to wear team gear, you're wearing Dallas Cowboys, you might have some Oregon. Have either of you ever got a letter or an email or a tweet from the Mariners, the Ducks, saying, hey, man, thanks for being a great fan.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate everything you do.
Well,
here's
Oregon,
$5 off the next, you know, next time.
Oregon
never.
Emails me all the time saying, give me money for the Alumni Association.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Mariners, hey, come and buy more apparel. We'll give you free shipping. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
That's wow. But that's it. So there's no love for the fan, for any of this. It's supposed to be Trailblazers Appreciation Week. How much are those tickets for these games? You know, because they should be free, considering how this team is playing and where they are. Like, it. I mean, they've won two in a row. Like, clap it up for that. But, no. Like, they won two in a row at a terrible time. Tickets should be free. There is no such thing as fan appreciation. They don't really care, you know what I'm saying, like that. It's all a money grab, and I'll be damned if I was to take more money out of my taxes to help you build a stadium, and then I don't even get like a discount on tickets at least?
You just don't care.
I don't.
I just don't care.
Yeah, the Blazers Fan Appreciation Week. The first 10,000, I don't know if this was this year's or last year's, the first 10,000 fans to the arena get a special edition basketball lip balm. So you get a crappy swag item. Stuff
Did
we
you
all
hear that?
Get.
Say that again. A basketball lip balm.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Looking out for people's lip health.
And
that's
it's not very important. It's not even from the Blazers. It's courtesy of Ticketmaster. So, like, this is how much they care.
You can't find me an old Ruben Boom-Jay jersey you can give me. You can't find something that in those archives. You can't find something in any of those archives that you just can't give to us because you have them in abundance. Like, this is ridiculous. So,
you know what the Blazers are doing?
A lot of jacking right now. Not in the right way. Not in the good way.
All right, let's wrap things up. To bone or not to bone?
Oh.
We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
I told him it was perfect length.
What the hell? Where are these coming from?
I'm not going to say anything for the rest of the show. We're talking about tigers or something like that?
Sexy growl there, buddy.
Yeah, you like that, right? Yeah.
I do. I'll admit it, I do.
All right. To bone or not to bone? That is the question. It's Masters Week, and Tiger Woods will be participating. And how about this? The fact that he even has this choice in his life, he is abstaining from sex for the whole week.
What? The week?
Whole week, but he is not... He is not boning right now in preparation for the Masters. That's how dedicated he is to his craft.
Michael Scott called and said, I give him the middle finger.
Well, Dirt and Sprague, they had a poll question. I believe it was worded, would giving up sex increase your performance in anything in life? And I just responded, I was like, as if that's a choice we even get to make. Like, well, imagine pro athletes, like, no, honey, I can't have sex this week. I'm sorry. I need to be at peak performance. I need to have my stamina. I need to have my testosterone levels at its highest. I need to be high T this week. No, I will not bone you.
There is a reason that NFL teams, when they're on the road, don't get, or even, you know, don't really, aren't supposed to have people in their rooms, right?
Yeah,
there's curfew and all type of stuff, just to make sure that you're not spending all those energy clapping cheeks and you can actually focus on the game. I know a lot of professional fighters that fight MMA, boxing and stuff like that, and like during training camp, like that's not, they're not going to expel that energy with sex, you know, in most cases. And you know, I understand that, you know, I get it. I don't know if
able to do it. You understand that lifestyle?
I don't know. Let me finish. I don't know if I would be able.
Well, Tiger is not finishing this week.
Wasn't Tiger like a sex addict?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Addiction is not a real thing. Stop.
Oh, it's a real thing.
You know what? When it's all rich and famous people saying that they're sex addicts, I fail to understand that that's a real problem.
It's definitely a real thing.
Don't believe it.
Sex is like any drug, like too much of it, and that's all you think about.
A body and a drug are different. So, no.
Yeah,
but I digress.
No, like it doesn't have to be a drug for it to be addictive. Food is addictive. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, whenever you do something in excess, it can be an addiction. And sex is definitely one of those things that feels good enough to where I would want to do it all the time.
Well, if my girlfriend wants to be addicted to sex, by all means, go for it.
You say that, but man, I think if you have a partner
I am run ragged right now.
Seriously, like if you have a
lot
partner
of jacking
right now and insatiable and that's, you know, all they want to do at a point, it's like, yo, I'm not with this.
Well, this is a question that our Olympiads are going to have to ask as well, to bone or not to bone, because the 2024 Paris Olympics in the Olympic Village, this was something that was not allowed during the 2021 Tokyo Olympics because of COVID. But they're saying bone away. Get 300,000 condoms will be stocked in the Olympic Village for the 2024 Paris Olympics.
That's awesome.
In Pali. And they're saying like, look, we know what happens at these places. We know what goes down in the Olympic Village. Let's try and just play it safe. All right.
We don't need anybody getting pregnant. We don't need any scares while we're here, you know.
So 14,250 residents will be in the Olympic Village of beautiful human beings. And I'm trying to do the math on that. 300,000 divided by 14,250, carry the 4, divide by 12, square root of 6. That's 21 condoms per person.
Oh, come on.
That's a lot of pipe being laid.
2 weeks?
And they're just getting their bone on every night.
2 or 3 weeks?
They're not, the Olympics aren't in Kazakhstan. It's in Paris.
Pally.
Like the most romantic place on earth. Like so yes, there's going to be a lot of smashing going on.
A lot of baguettes going around.
100%.
A lot of people laying down some escargot. I don't know what that means. The athletes, I don't know how long it's going to be, how long the Winter Olympics, or excuse me, the Summer Olympics are. It's usually about like 2.5, 3 weeks.
Like 3 weeks,
something like that.
2 weeks.
That's 21 condoms per person, 3 weeks. That's about a lay a day. I mean, that sounds like I don't know. Maybe you're able to recover. Maybe you should be boning. Maybe that would be better for recovery.
And mind you, you might have a week to where you're not even competing, you know, right there.
The downtime.
You get eliminated early from contention. It's like, you know what? I'm going to just hang around for the rest of the week.
I'm going to kick it. I'm going to hang out.
I got 18 condoms left.
Does your country pay for you to hang around after you get eliminated?
I think it depends on the country.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sure there are some countries that are like, yeah, you're getting
seriously,
your ass
if you know you're
right
not going to medal, you know you're not going to medal, you're going to finish like 6th or 7th anyway. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to just kick it here and be an Olympian for the next 3 weeks in Paris.
I think that I need to figure out what sport I need to get into so I can get into the Olympics. It's probably a little too late for me to get to the Paris Olympics, but where is 2028?
Can we get some Olympics OnlyFans going? I'm interested. I'm interested to see what's happening. Who's hooking up? Yeah, let's go.
I'd like to see some swimmers.
I've heard all the rumors.
Oh, perfect. The 2028 Olympics. That's the one that's in L.A. Well, that's not a far travel for me at all. All right, I'll figure out what sport I'm going to medal in or that I'm going to start training in so that way I can get down to the Olympic Village in 2028.
I'm with it.
And then I'll tell my girlfriend, hey, listen, it's all part of the event, okay?
Yeah, I'm doing this for our country.
Do you think I want to bone all these people in the Olympic Village?
I'm doing it for America.
Come on. Got to use these condoms somehow.
Hey, somebody in Oregon's going to be boning a lot here. The winning Powerball ticket was sold in this very state, guys. $1.3 billion winner on Saturday here in Oregon.
Oh, in Oregon?
Yes. Congrats. They don't know the city yet. They don't know the exact store.
Don't tell them nothing. When I win, I'm going into obscurity. Nobody's going to know.
Well, good for them. I'm going to be pissed, though, if that ticket was like bought in Newburgh or something like that.
And ditto.
I think that everybody's going to be a little upset if it was bought in their hometown. Hopefully it was bought in like somewhere random, like Joseph or Jacksonville or something like that.
Or like Eastern Oregon, down in Malheur County or somewhere, away from us.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for tuning in, Sports Sunday. Keep tuning in to the fan because we have some things planned in the future here for our guy Mike and raising funds for him and his battle with ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease. So, Mike, we love you. We love all of you for listening. Rashad, Jordan, thank you guys as always.
My guy.
Love you guys.
Love you, fellas, man.
And everybody listening on this Sunday, appreciate you, and we'll see you next Sunday. Peace.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.